You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras. Now, it's summertime, and that means it's time to start thinking about getting our trail cameras out and start capturing pictures of this velvet antler growth that we all obsess about. And our friends at Exodus are kicking things off with Velvet Fest. Long story short, Velvet Fest is the opportunity for you to win a variety of prizes just by purchasing Exodus Trail Cameras, one of the best trail cam companies in the industry. Now until July 12th, when you purchase any camera, you will be automatically entered into a drawing to win a variety of prizes from companies like Wicked Tree Gear, Maven Rifle Scopes, Tethered Tree Saddles, and of course, Exodus Trail Cameras. Be sure to follow Exodus on Facebook and Instagram, and be sure to visit ExodusOutdoorGear.com for more information.
Brent goes, "Will Cleo respond to a barred owl?" Gary goes, "Okay, well, barred owl at him." So he's, "Ooh, ooh, ooh." And it never occurred to me. I told Brent this yesterday. I was like, "Man, they got barred owls in Canada." And they're over there trying to flag me down. Finally, Gary walks over to me and he's like, "Clay, did you not hear us? Did you not hear us owling, pressure calling?" It was like, "Why didn't you hear?" And then I told him I'm literally deaf in my right ear. It was like he was getting mad at me for not being able to walk, but I was in a wheelchair.
My name is Clay Newcomb, and I'm the host of the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. I'll also be your host into the world of hunting, the icon of North American wilderness, the bear. We'll talk about tactics, gear, conservation, but we'll also bring you into some of the wildest country on the planet, chasing bear.
British Columbia is an incredible place to hunt black bear. In May of 2019, just recently, we were in British Columbia at the camp of Jeff Lander and Primitive Outfitting. In this conversation, Jeff and I are joined by Jeff's longtime friend and guide, Gary Hilscher. Gary is a veteran mountain hunter. He's had a lot of experience hunting both black and grizzly bears, and Jeff is a longtime outfitter and veteran northern hunter, and Jeff has had some incredible experiences with black and grizzly bears. On this podcast, we're going to talk about stalking bears. So this is a spot and stalk hunt that we're on, and there's a lot of misconceptions about stalking bears, basically that it's easy. And we go through many examples of things that happened on this hunt that really surprised actually all of us. And so we're going to talk about the specifics of stalking black bears. We also dive into some of the bear conflicts that these guys have been just an arm's reach away from in British Columbia, with a black bear mauling, some grizzly stuff. So you're going to enjoy this podcast with Jeff and Gary in British Columbia. Welcome to the Bear Hunting Magazine Podcast. We are in the wild places of British Columbia, Canada. I cannot give specific details where this camp is, but we're at the camp of Jeff Lander and Primitive Outfitting in British Columbia. We're here this week hunting the giant black bears of the far north. So I have as guest today Jeff Lander and his good buddy and guide, and I'll let you introduce Gary, Jeff, but Gary Hilscher. But Jeff, introduce Gary first.
Well, Gary and I have been guiding together 20-something years now. So real quickly, the first time I met Gary, a taxidermist friend of ours hooked us up for going on a sheep hunt. And he shows up at the coffee shop.
How do you remember these things?
On his crotch rocket.
Oh.
With a very bright jacket. Very bright fluorescent jacket. And lightning bolts cut into the side of his head.
No way.
So I thought my friend Harley was messing with me with some dude who knows. I mean, it was weird. But he lost a bet at work and had to cut cut lightning bolts into his head. So
I can't believe we've been married for this long.
I know. Almost. No, Gary and I, we've done a lot of stuff together and gone through some good times and crazy times. And So
he's been guiding for you here at your British Columbia Bear Camp for.
Yeah.
So how long, when did that start, Jeff?
13 years ago.
13 years ago.
But then before it was Alberta.
Yeah.
With Whitetail.
Yeah. Okay.
So he ran an area that I never even stepped foot in. I had rifle tags, and he ran it up in northern Alberta.
Okay.
Way north. So, yeah.
So Gary's a guide, and he guides all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what about you? Introduce yourself, Jeff.
Well,
the best thing about you is you're married to an Arkansan.
Absolutely.
A good one.
Absolutely. A good one. No, I started in 94, I think, in the Edmonton Bow Zone for whitetail.
Mm.
So in Alberta, you can buy individual tags versus BC, you got to buy an actual hunting area.
Right.
So when you're a young person trying to get into the outfitting game, Alberta was perfect because you could buy one tag or 50 tags.
Really?
But you could.
And that was prime time for Canadian whitetail hunting, early 90s.
Yes, absolutely. The Edmonton Bow Zone was the destination.
Right.
Before quality deer management started happening stateside. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a long time, but.
And so currently Primitive Outfitting, you guide. So you started out with whitetail, but now you're primarily guiding moose, mule deer, and black bear. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, it was whitetails, and I got into mule deer in southern Alberta. I had about 6 or 7 years of waterfowl in central Alberta.
Okay.
But then waterfowl and mule deer kind of, there was a conflict there. I mean, as far as the same timing when the birds are coming down and the same time we're hunting mule deer. So.
Yeah.
But I sold all my Alberta stuff to buy here, and then I slowly bought back what I had in Alberta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so We're gonna do another podcast on this trip where we're gonna talk about like the full gamut of black bear hunting and what we're doing this week.
Mm-hmm.
But on this podcast specifically, what I want to talk about with you guys is stalking black bears, stalking bears. So for people that listen to this podcast a lot of times we have these big like roundtable discussions where it's just we're just talking about general things, but then we have these like pretty specific topic based podcasts. And so, so that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about today. I mean, we've been hunting with Gary now for 3 days and, we've learned a ton. And my experience with black bears is this is the first spot and stalk traditional archery Western black bear hunt that I've done. So I've hunted in BC a couple of times, hunted in the Western U.S. several times for black bear with a rifle, and that's hard enough. Mm-hmm. On this hunt, because of many reasons, I chose to bring the stick bow out here. Mm-hmm. Jeff is a big time traditional archer; that's all he does, and so the name of his outfit is Primitive Outfitting. So how could I bring anything but the trad bow? And so this is kind of like another checkbox type hunt for me, really. And I've killed spot and stalk bears in Arkansas with a trad bow. But I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions about stalking these bears just in general, in the general hunting world. Let me just start off with the general conception perception is that bears are stupid, bears are easy to stalk, and bears can't see. Mm-hmm. That's the perception, but what we have seen in the last 3 days, Gary, is that and not just the last 3 days, but they're harder to stalk than you think. I mean, they really are, and there's several reasons for that. But Jeff, if you had to describe what it takes. And again, we're trying to, especially with a stick bow, we're trying to get inside of 20 yards. And I heard Gary say many times this week, it's pretty, not easy, but doable to get inside of 50, even with most animals. But closing that distance down to 20 and under Yeah, I mean, you're up in his grill big time. And you got to do a lot of things right. Got to have a lot of things going for you. But, Jeff, how would you describe stalking black bears? What does it take?
You got to know when to move and know when to stop, basically. So, and Gary's experiences are different. And I'm glad you decided this is the time you're going to do it, because you would have been probably tagged out by now if you were rifle hunting. But I don't know if that's good or bad, Gary. That one was huge. But I think what most folks who come up here are confused. I know last week when I start, like, I close the distance and I close it fast. And even if I'm wide open to these bears and he's walking away or his head's down or he's not looking, I boogie. Because part of the issue up here is wind. Mm-hmm. Wind can kill you, and it can change very quickly. Well, as you saw in fields or on the, in the meadows or on the logging roads or whatever, it's never a consistent in your face spend 2 hours.
So when the moment is right, you better capitalize on that moment.
So my approach, and Gary's is probably different, but I try to get within 60, 70 yards as fast as I can in the wide open and then stop and whatever. And you're dealing with bears that are looking over their shoulders for grizzlies. I mean, I've seen seven this week. They don't like them. You know, I mean, they're jiggy to begin with. And, so move fairly quick.
And that, let me stop on that point right there, because that is something that's very different than stalking an ungulate, is that, like, these bears we've been seeing, they're out in the middle of a field with their head in the grass, and they're not a prey animal. They don't have eyes on the sides of their head. They don't quite have the peripheral vision. Well, they don't have near the peripheral vision of an ungulate. And so, like, if that bear's butt is toward you and his head is in the grass, you can move fast towards him.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, you do that on a deer, I mean, he's got a routine where every 15 seconds he's lifting his head and getting basically a 360-degree view around him. That's the one place that the bear is weak, is, you know, he's a predator. He's got eyes on the front of his head. And so that key right there, I think, is significant. When you can move, move fast. You get busted if you did that with a deer.
Yeah, but you'll notice, too, when you're watching them, that they are, I mean, they're swinging their heads, and they're keeping tabs of what's going on around them. Mostly in some of the places you've been, that notoriously where you've been hunting is big grizzly country.
Yes.
And one in particular who's there pretty much every year.
Yeah.
And so they're casual, but you watch them mostly through a scope or through good binoculars, and they're swinging their heads, and they're looking. They're looking at the edges. They know what's around them. They do.
Yes.
And a lot of times with mostly the big boars, and it's what gets them killed, is they're cocky. And, you know, the sows and the smaller boars will just fly off, you know, wherever they're at if they see something. But sometimes those big boars, they're aggressive, you know. They'll tolerate you to a certain point, mostly during the rut. And if you get aggressive with them as well, that's what gets them killed, because they're proud.
And when you say you get aggressive with them, like, you mean intentionally let them, then let them see you?
If he's with a sow, we woof at them. We do what they do. And a lot of times they come back for that second look, which is what gets them, gets an arrow into them, right?
Yeah.
This time of year, we're dealing with bears that are feeding, coming right out of the den. You know, they're powering up because they haven't eaten in five months, right? So now it's...
They're not quite as aggressive.
No, but they also, they're pretty protective of their prime feeding spots.
Yeah.
So they can be, but it's,
So these bears, and I thought that was a good point, and I wouldn't have thought of it on my own until you said it the other day, but these bears are edgy, not because of hunting pressure. They're edgy because there's a lot of black bears here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're seeing a lot of bears. Mm-hmm. I told Brent, we're seeing as many bears here on spot and stalk hunt typically as we would on a good baited hunt in Canada, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, seeing 7 or 8 bears a day, and that's some of that's just driving down the road and seeing one cross the road, but so there's a lot of bears, a lot of big black bears, but also a wad of grizzly bears. Mm-hmm. So these bears are constantly on edge. Yesterday, I stalked a bear that we hadn't really gauged him that much. We didn't know if he was a shooter or not, but we went ahead and they sent me around, and I got way out from the guys while they were on one side of the field, and I got within probably 30 to 40 yards of this bear, and we're not sure if the wind got me or what happened, but I think he may have heard me, Gary. I walked underneath one of these big fir trees. It had rained, and so it was pretty quiet everywhere else. But just the way I had to go, I had to walk under this fir tree where it was dry. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was Indian tiptoeing, and I stepped on one little stick, and I couldn't even see the bear. But after I stepped on the stick, I slowed down, and I saw the bear's head raise up. And I think he heard that stick and thought I was a bear. Mm-hmm. He didn't hear that stick and think I was a man.
That's right.
He heard that stick and thought I was a bear, and I was like, bear coming. And he didn't booger off too bad, but it changed his trajectory, mm-hmm. and he moved out of the way. And, I mean, it was just kind of like, geez, I thought this was going to be a little easier than this.
And that bear just put a run on another bear about a half an hour earlier and put that bear up a tree in front of us, right?
He was jittery already.
Yeah. Came right out and did that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Gary, so let's say you're taking somebody. What do you gave me some instruction when we first met earlier this week. What would you tell a guy that was spotting and stalking bears out here?
I think Jeff answered that. Yeah, same thing what Jeff said. You know, when they're cover the distance fast over the years, we've had a lot of guys because of deer hunting, you know, and that's mainly what they've done, where they move so slow and everything's indicated for how they move. And the wind changes so fast here so many times that, cover that first, whatever, X amount of hundreds of yards and down to that 60, 70 yard distance or that 50 yard distance as fast as you can. So, you know, before the wind changes, especially where we were in that field. I mean, that field's hard to hunt regardless. We've got it done there, you know, quite a few times, but there's certain parts of that field are so, so hard to hunt because the wind is swirling, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, and those bears, I mean, like most animals, their noses are amazing. Even if it looks like they're not paying attention. What's cool is when I get to sit back, unlike a lot of guys, I got to go in with them, and you're doing the stalks yourself, which I think is awesome. We get to see what the bear does, and you get to see that head come up constantly. Even though, like you said, it looks like it's not really looking, but man, it's wind checking, and you can a lot of times kind of see them smacking their lips, and I think they're almost, I don't know, tasting the wind or something. It looks weird.
Yeah.
But just checking that out, right? And like Jeff said, because of just a lot of the bears and a lot of the grizzly bears around them, you know, who knows what goes on for the things we don't see? Who knows how many of those big boars, how many cubs they kill?
Right.
And all that kind of stuff that goes down that you just, you know, most people never get to see. So they're kind of on edge.
Yeah.
But even like the big boar we did a stalk on yesterday, you know, everything went, I honestly thought you were at least going to get a shot, you know. And
yeah.
Perfect spot, perfect ditch that we were in on the old logging road. And for that thing to just kind of step out. And sometimes they don't do that either, by the way. I mean, and look back and see
let's talk,
the cameraman. You know, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Let's talk about that situation specifically. I've got two other stories from this week that I want to talk about. But we saw this bear from probably close to half a mile away on a road. We're driving down a logging road, see a bear kind of through the trees long before we saw the truck. There's a bear in the road, we say. Gary backs the truck up. We get out of the truck. Wind's hitting us dead in the face. Everything's perfect. Bear's walking down the road towards us. We close the distance quickly. We couldn't even see the bear. I mean, so we're moving as fast as we can walk.
Right.
You know, and we get to probably 150 yards, and we see the bear, and he's kind of in the ditch. And there's a low spot in the road with a culvert in between us and the bear. Later, we ranged it, and we were 100 yards away from the bear, Jeff. He was kind of off in the ditch. And, I mean, we're in the chips, man. He doesn't see us. He's got his head in the grass. Wind's in our face. Well, we get to 100 yards, and so we've got Brent as the cameraman, Gary there, and they're in the ditch. Gary's crouched. Brent has the camera up on a tripod, which that later we're learning we're going to have to get lower. But, I mean, they were the least of my concerns in terms of busting this bear. Well, when I left out with them and dropped in this ditch, the bear couldn't even see me. When I popped out of the ditch, I was going to be probably under 50 yards from the bear. And I get down in the ditch and start coming back up the other side. I mean, just thinking, this is about to happen. And they start calling me off. I kind of peek back around, and they're, I don't know if they whistled at me, or I was just like, what are we doing here, guys? And obviously, you know, the bear spooked. And they said, Gary, what did he do?
Well, just looked back at us. And yeah.
And you guys weren't moving.
No. I mean, usually in that case, that shouldn't happen, but it did. That's just the way it goes, right?
Yeah.
Looked back at us and just realized something's not right, and then slowly walked off. Then when you came back up, then we got to watch it go into a cut and slow right down. And you could even hear it woof from the cut a little bit, right? And the cool part of that story is the other group of guys, we told them to try to go after the bear, probably the same bear, and they got three stalks on it. For whatever reason, he's a big, big boar. He's just really jiggy for whatever reason. Maybe
he did the same thing to these guys.
And they got on it three times with a compound, you know what, 37, 40-something, like all.
Yeah.
And the hunter was at full draw, and the bear didn't even give him 1 second to shoot. Now, that's kind of a rare situation, I mean, for whatever reason, when the wind's in your face, but maybe because forestry guys are back there.
Well,
I don't know.
It just goes to show you that what it taught me is that you just can't take anything for granted. I mean, whatever animal you're stalking, you better put your, as we say, the triple sneak on them, right, Brent? I mean, because, you know, on a hunt like this, I would be surprised if I see a bigger bear than that one on this hunt. You know, I mean, so it's like, and not that we were taking it nonchalant, because we weren't at all, but at the same time, we just assumed that this wouldn't be a problem, and it was. And so, you know, I mean, it just all of us were like, well, we should have done this. You know, we should have set it behind the brush pile, or, you know, and I mean, you just learned something. But and that wasn't the only time that we spooked a bear by sight this week. And obviously, our situation is a little bit different because we got three guys, big camera. And so, I mean, we're a lot of scent. Typically on a, well, if you're hunting in Canada, you got to have a guide if you're an American hunting here. So, I mean, usually there's going to be two guys. Mm-hmm. But Gary, the first bear that we saw this week, we were hunting, we walked into a field. Man, the hunting here is incredible. The first place we went, first day we were here, we got here at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and by 5 o'clock we were hunting. Mm-hmm. Gary took us to this big field, and we popped up over this little ridge, and man, there was a big bear feeding at 400 yards. There was a bear directly in front of us, probably at, well, he was kind of around the bend, but at 300 yards. And there was another bear over here at probably 300 yards. I mean, it was just like.
And that's after you drove by Grizz with two cubs, right?
Yeah. The first bear encounter that we had was a, it looked like a big mama grizz. Well, she had cubs. It was a female, but it wasn't a small grizz. Yeah, saw her from the road. But we're trying to decide which bear to go after. And we could tell one was pretty big, but one was in kind of a better place to stalk. So we said, well, let's just ease down in there. And that bear was 150 yards away, I think. Maybe 120. And we kind of peeked out around the edge and glassed this bear, and the wind was good. He threw up his head, looked at us, and just moved into the timber like they do, kind of just tiptoeing off. Mm-hmm. I was shocked, and I think you were too, Gary, weren't you?
Yeah, not one I was, for sure.
I mean, it didn't even, it broke the stereotype mm-hmm. of what you typically think about bears.
But I think the reason for that was too, as we're discussing this, is that there was so many bears, well, not so many, but three bears there, and that bigger boar being down the field, which we eventually went after, they're a little more on edge when you have that many bears around,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, usually it's not quite that difficult.
Yeah.
No, they've been seeing us, it seems like, this year, or more, whatever. And maybe it's because it's so concentrated.
Yeah.
As far as the food, it's so concentrated that there's, I mean, who knows what we're not seeing, you know?
Yeah.
So they're probably.
So, there's a lot of snow up in the high country right now.
So we had a long winter.
Not at all. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a long winter, and I think, whereas we could probably be hunting a little bit higher right now, and that's just the way the years go, right? You know, any bear that's out is probably down either along the railway tracks feeding or in these abandoned farm fields or along the old logging roads, which is basically right now down here, right? We've already driven up once to check things out, and yeah, and we're just snowed in up top right now. And usually we're not that snowed in, right? So, just a lot more bears concentrated, and for sure that's what's making them a little more jiggier on the edge, right? And we've already seen a few.
So that just shows you that there's all these factors inside of hunting these bears that maybe you wouldn't necessarily think about. I mean, like the fact that these bears are concentrated is going to make them more skittish, not of humans, but of bears. And like that bear when he saw us at the first bear, 120 yards away. I mean, he probably didn't think we were humans. Maybe he did. He just saw something that wasn't an elk. Standing on the edge of a field, kind of a blob. Mm-hmm. It was just like, maybe that's maybe he thought we were a grizzly. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he moved off. Let me take the conversation here, too, just for people that maybe don't know a lot about bears, or maybe they do, but bear eyesight, they say, is really equivalent to ours. Mm-hmm. They see color. You know, ungulates don't see color. Bears see color because, from a biological perspective, they've got to be able to tell the difference between a ripe berry and an unripe berry. That's the way I've heard it described. I mean, you know, like they need that color differentiation to be able to pick their food. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably not the only reason, but bears see color pretty much equivalent to us. Their eyesight is a lot like ours, binocular vision. They even have depth perception like ours, but because they're not a prey animal and they don't have that really heightened flight response to danger like a deer, a lot of times people perceive bears as having bad eyesight, which really a lot of times they just don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the thing. Like, a lot of times a bear, he probably sees you or perceives that something is over there, but he just doesn't care. And so people go, well, bears are half blind. But they're really not blind. So in a situation like this, where the bears are heightened because of grizz, because of a lot of black bear, then all of a sudden, I mean, what we're seeing is they see just fine. Yeah. But any thoughts on that, Jeff?
No, I'd agree with you. Yeah, they do. They see, I think they see as well as we do, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to put it. I mean, what you just said there, I mean, it's kind of new to, I haven't heard it that way. You know, as far as
the color of the bear,
the color, and yeah, that's interesting. But no, they see, and I think you're right. They don't. Sometimes they just don't care. Well, they don't. The bigger ones don't.
Yeah,
except for the one last night.
Yeah,
he did care.
Yeah,
but it's close. Yeah. So I mean, this time of year, you know, we're just dealing with them coming out. I mean, last week I literally was seeing bears that could not stand for more than about 30 seconds. They'd lay down, drooling. They just came out of the den. Every bear that we've shot so far has hair between his toes and his claws. You know, he hasn't been walking long, at least on anything hard. It's a rifle hunter's dream here.
Yeah.
A stick bow's nightmare.
Yeah.
But when you get it done with a stick, it's, you know, like we had a young guy shoot one here a couple nights ago at 12 yards, you know.
Yeah.
That bear never looked up.
Just
feeding, walked right into him. So each bear's different, and when it comes together, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because they're up close and personal, and if they want, they can bat you around pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff, tell us the story about the bear you encountered last night.
Yeah, just in another area, another zone from mine.
Right.
We have the guides covered, so I'm just, you know, and the hunters covered here because we killed out two bears on Sunday night. So just been checking out another zone with Dave, my friend Dave from Alaska. And yeah, he was just a really big black bear, and he was raining and came through that stretch, and there was a big fresh pile. There hadn't been anything there the last couple of days. Big fresh pile. Went up and hung out till the rain let off, then came back, saw him. He's probably 125 yards, and first I thought he was a grizzly because he just had a big hump on him, but he was black. And no, I just, yeah, it worked out.
You rushed in, like, just like you said, you saw him, you ran. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And closed the distance to 50 yards or something.
Yeah, he had his head away from me, and he was kind of over the edge a little bit. And so I was able to move close. One spot where he was probably 25 yards, and I had to get around this willow and risk it when he had his head down, which I got around him and got to 18. But he was over the edge, and I could just see the top of his back and maybe 4 inches from the top. No shot. Mm.
Yeah.
And then at that point I realized that he was really big.
Yeah.
And then I had my bow up. I had to take one step up to get the shot to get clear. And he just turned and looked and saw me. And he skedaddled very quickly.
Really? So he just bolted?
Oh, my gosh. He did not know what I was. The wind was good. No idea. Just knew something was there real close to him. And thankfully, he ran the other way. And it was all downed willows and like a beaver pond. And as he's running away, I just like, wow, that is a giant, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't move very fast. Like some of these younger bears, they can haul, you know, they can grip and go. But he was struggling to get across there. So that was great. Spooked him out of there. But he didn't know what I was. And there's not much green over there. Yeah, it's just... And that's the first stock I've had myself, well, second in 8 years.
Right.
You know, I mean, I see a lot of these things. We stock a lot, and we shoot a lot of them, and never had much of a desire because I've shot quite a few of them with my stick bow, but kind of got the fire. It's cool being close to these things. These things are majestic animals, and the world they live in every day. You know, and I stopped killing two bears because – a lot of folks would kill one, and they just want to kill another one, not taking into account what that bear has gone through.
Yeah, well put.
And the respect factor was not there. I mean, not with every guy. I'm not saying every guy is like that or person is like that, but they're not they're not everywhere. And to get that size, like what Frank shot the other night, you know, that's probably, I don't know, I'd say 7-8-year-old bear, maybe younger. He was young, but was some big. Of the big bears were killing or in that 10-year and older.
Yeah.
And you got to give them respect. I mean, they're getting dragged out of their dens by wolves in the winter. It's a known thing, mostly the young bears.
Yeah.
They're finding a lot of, bear claws in the wolf scat. We got a lot of wolves around here.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's mandatory that every one of my hunters has a wolf tag.
Because
we're killing them if we can, and we don't very often. I've seen two this last week, but usually we can go a season and not.
You're right.
But that chance of, for $50, a wolf stands out there, even if it's a bow hunter, there's no messing around with a bow. It's like you grab your guide's gun and you shoot.
Yep.
And we've had them shot, and guys life-size them, which is hilarious because their hides are brutal. I mean, but, you know, we take it for granted up here, but a lot of people can't shoot wolves. And a lot of people in the West don't like wolves.
Yeah.
I mean, they're part of the Canadian experience. They're just as important as anything else.
You know, I don't think, let me think about this before I say it. I am pretty sure that I have never seen a wolf in Canada. I've hunted a lot in Canada. I do not think I've ever seen a wolf with my own eyes in Canada. The only wolf I've seen was in Idaho. That just shows you how elusive they are, because they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But they're, you know, besides the mature boar grizzly, they are the smartest critter out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to be.
Are they smarter than a wild hog, Jeff? You hear everybody talk about how smart wild hogs are.
I would attest to the fact that wild, big boar hogs are very smart.
Yeah.
Because they elude me big time or smell me. So, but yeah, I think so.
They are. Hmm. Well, and then, so you said they're evading. To get to that 10-year-old range, they've evaded wolves, they've evaded predation by black bears, but they've also avoided getting killed by a grizzly, which probably would be, I mean, grizzlies aren't like seeking out black bears to kill them, but they would. I mean, they're opportunistic omnivores. They'd kill a cub if they could in a heartbeat. And then conflicts inside of feeding and stuff. I'm sure there's black bear fatalities, but grizzlies probably fairly common.
And I bet you vice versa.
Yeah.
You think some of the black bears get the grizz?
We got video of a grizzly running from a big black bear.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think in a lot of these big, mature boar black bears are tore up.
Like they got to be fighters to live. Yeah.
So I don't think these big boar black bears are running from grizzlies. I think they hold their own. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to think that they wouldn't be in the same vicinity, but then I've seen them.
Many times.
You know, elk here, grizzly here, black bear here. Guy shoots a black bear. The other two run away and whatever. But
Gary, tell us about the – we talked about this a lot this week, Jeff. The common theme that you hear from outfitters and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, even a lot of the old school outfitters that are like are amazing. I mean, growing up and not knowing so much about this stuff, I'd always hear, "Oh, if you're seeing grizzlies, you're not going to see blacks."
Right.
And oh my goodness, I mean, at least in this area, that's been, and including in my own hunting career when I used to grizzly bear hunt as a kid, that was proven so wrong. I've been on avalanche shoots and seen, you know, three black bears, four black bears out there feeding and a big giant grizzly. Now, don't get me wrong. They're all aware of each other and they give each other space.
Right.
But they're out. I mean, that's the only green in the country. And it's not like that grizzly's pushing off the blacks or vice versa. And we got video here over the years. Actually, here's proved it anywhere else in one of the areas we hunt where what Jeff was saying earlier. And that's not the only experience where this grizzly's out. And it's not a big grizzly. That's not the point. It's still a 3-4-year-old grizzly bear, and you know this black bear walks out and puts a run on it. Now once they kind of sniffed each other out, because the people that were there with us had an amazing evening, the grizzly came back out. No different than when we were hiking out last night. We actually saw the other bear that we wanted to stalk two nights ago.
Yeah.
Closer to my truck there, right? And it was the bigger bear. It wasn't, you know, a shooter, we thought, and also the smaller bear comes out, and they didn't see each other, but they definitely winded each other pretty quick, and that smaller bear put a run on the bigger bear, and then they kind of tried to figure things out.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how, I don't know why that's such, it's one of those wives' tales.
Well, I mean, the first day we were here, we saw that disproved.
Yeah.
Because over the course of 2 days, we saw that big sow grizz with the two cubs at the Tasty Freeze, as they call it.
Yeah.
And then the very next day, probably within 30 feet of where that grizz was, there was a sow black bear.
But then we went just 100 yards on the road in that willow thicket, and there was another grizzly with a cub right there. And
so
they knew each other was there for sure, you know, and yet they're feeding around. So, that's definitely one of those things. It's a misconception, you know, that if a grizzly bear's around, there's no black bears around.
Right. The whole grizzly thing adds a dimension to this hunt that I would have only experienced in Alaska. You know, I mean, in Alaska, you're constantly aware of grizzlies, you know, and we can carry handguns in Alaska. So I remember, Jeff, when I hunted Alaska, one time I went on a hunt and I just left my pistol at home or at the tent on accident. And, man, I was, like, paranoid that whole hunt. Here, we can't carry pistols because we're in Canada. But the grizz adds just a super cool dimension to this hunt. And talking about stalking black bears, twice now we've been hunting this big field that you guys have said is typically holding a big grizz. And I'm over there bear crawling to stalk on these bears for like 150 yards. I'm on my hands and knees, you know, with a trad bow in one hand. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do when I slip up on Mama Grizz about 15 yards away when she steps out into the field? And it adds a dimension, adds a whole dimension to even a stalk, because the idea of a stalk is that you're slipping along quiet. When you're in grizzly bear country and you're a hiker, they're like, wear bells on your shoes, you know, like make noise, let them know you're there. When you're stalking, you're not making any noise. Now, Gary is like, he doesn't pay much attention to him. Or Jeff, are you paranoid at all about grizzlies? That's the wrong word.
I think you have to be.
You
know, I bought these e-bikes, these Trek e-bikes that we used last year. They were new last year. And I honestly have changed my tune on those, on some of the places we hunt, because, you know, it's curvy, it's rolling, you got log blocks, and, you know, you can be on something very, very quickly, which we did last year on a couple, you know, four-year-olds. But you got to give them a healthy, you really.
So you're saying you could be cruising along, not making very little noise on that e-bike, come around a log pile, and there's a grizz there, and bam, he just plows you.
Yeah, I mean, the big boar is probably not. They rode up on one last week at 30 yards or 35 yards where you were hunting, past where you were at, a couple more fields. I mean, he was in the ditch. All he saw was his hump. He just lifted his head and stared at him. Mm. And this is my other guy, Ryan, and his hunters. They just kind of, well, one of them quickly turned around and got out of there. But the other two just, if that was a sow with young cubs, likely you're going to have an encounter very quickly. So I think it makes you a better hunter. I think you're more aware. I know as a guide, I'm way more aware. Even Gary just started carrying his gun everywhere.
Most places.
Gary doesn't really, you know. He figures that nothing's going to happen, and you know,
yeah, it's not.
Gary's a self medic, so we need to hear a few stories about that too.
Well, no, we got a lot of Gary stories.
No, Gary stories.
Yeah, but that's for another podcast.
No, yeah, you got to have a healthy respect for him. You know, I got to admit, I'm one of those guys that take it for granted, and it's just not cool. I've been charged a few times to basically point blank range, you know, and again, I got to admit, back then, I kind of thought it was a joke. But let's just face it, there's human lives here involved. There's families, there's kids. And over the years, in the community, I'm not referring to here right here, but we've lost acquaintances, right? And the percussions of that, just right down through, like again, family, children, wives, etc., is huge. And for whatever ridiculous reason, you know, I just never thought that way. You know, I've been charged off of a moose kill, not knowing that moose is dead, on a totally different hunt with a grizzly bear hunter just going in to set up for the evening. And this is not at all referring to what most clients will or will not do, but as arrogant this may sound, I got to realize I don't know you, and you could be the world's greatest hunter, but I got to still take in consideration that I don't know your reaction to a charge down to maybe 10, 15, 5 yards. And in the few times that I have been point-blank charged, I'm not talking about bluff charged, you learn to read that over the years, but the few times I've been point-blank charged, my hunters have lost it.
Mm.
And these are good guys. These are good human beings. You know what I mean? I mean, absolutely lost it. And then, and have given me the gears, like, why didn't you shoot? And I'm like, well, there's so much that goes through a guide. Said, we got to learn to really, really respect each other. Like, you know, I got to put myself in your shoes, where you're coming from. And the client's got to put themselves in the guide's shoes. Well, first of all, you're paying X amount of dollars back when it was open for this hunt. I don't want to shoot, because if I shoot, this all goes through your head, and you know, in a millionth of a second, right? But again, my hunters in the times I've been charged have lost it. And in hindsight, regardless, you know, how strict they are, which is whatever, it's, you know, the laws here in BC right now with grizzly bear hunting being shut down, a human life is far more important than any animal life, any animal for that matter. Yeah. And I should have shot. I should have shot. I didn't. Nothing happened. But
it's got to be going through your head too now, even more so than before. Yeah. That, man, you shoot a grizzly bear, you got a pretty tough row to hoe with the government. Is that true,
absolutely.
Jeff?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like a murder investigation.
Wow.
You know, but
bizarre.
You know, I've instructed my guys that, you know, if it's a serious charge, like Schneider and Brian Call had a charge 2 years ago on a moose hunt, and that thing, they should have killed that, because the way he was looking, he was not afraid of him. I'll deal with the government, whatever. You know, but life is.
Yeah.
You know, to be afraid of losing, or for me, losing my license, or these guys losing their privileges to guide, because if you shoot a bear in that split second of not, you know, if you don't and he's on you, it's ugly, right?
Yeah.
But yet, these black bears could kick your tail as quickly as any grizzly can.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how the heart rate is different from a big black bear versus a big grizzly, yet the consequences could be the same.
Yeah,
that crossed my mind last night.
Yeah,
you know, Dave's and it's raining. He can't even see me, and I'm just standing there looking at. You know, I mean, if that thing decided, I mean, yeah,
there's the risk most involved. predatory black bear encounters or situations probably have been in BC.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I mean, I'm kind of shooting off the hip there.
Well, I mean, we had one, you know.
Yeah.
My guide got mauled.
Do you want to tell us about that?
I mean, it's just, these guys were residents. I've known them for a long time. And we were moose hunting. I had clients in. And we were way down in my area, very remote. We won't get there. We can't get there now because of the snow. Mm-hmm. But he, they've been down there 18 years, and they've always had bears that would come in and around because it's their camp. But so my moose hunters left on a Wednesday. We killed a big bull. Some mistakes were made, no doubt. I was concerned with how I was concerned about the scent and garbage control. The moose was dragged right into camp.
Okay.
Four wheeler stuff. You know, there's just a lot of things adding up to it.
Mm.
And I had a young couple, and the gal was the age of my daughters, or my oldest daughter anyway. So I wanted to get her out of there. I just had a bad feeling. So I said, you know, we're going to butcher this moose, and I'm going to take my truck down and park it, which we did. So I got her out of there, got her down here, and her husband stayed for another day or two. Anyway, they left on a Tuesday. My two guides took their sons out, and they killed a bull themselves. They had a draw tag as residents. And then they took that back home. Didn't come back Thursday. Came back Friday, and their pelican cooler was out in this common area. So you had your cook tent and two sleeping tents. They're all 5 feet, 10 feet apart from each other. And the pelican was pulled out with a big tooth mark in it.
Mm.
So they pulled it back in and went to bed. Paul and Dave, great guys. But anyway, so Paul heard something in the cook tent. Said, "Hey, Dave, I think there's a bear." And before he even got in the cook tent, that bear was through the wall tent. Now, as well, with most wall tents, after the first year, the zipper doesn't work.
Right.
I mean, it's just notorious they don't. So it flew in, hit him on his cot, started his feet, ripped his...
Just to clarify, this is a black bear.
390-pound boar black bear, well-fed.
This isn't a grizz.
He's predatory, this guy. He didn't care. And so he ripped his calf off his leg, like literally bit, tore.
This guy's on his cot.
Yeah.
Did he even have a chance to get up?
No.
He's asleep, basically.
No, he was still awake. Everyone else was asleep.
Do they have guns close by?
Yeah, it didn't matter. He was on them. And then, so you got to realize, the 17-year-old son was in there. Dave's 18-year-old son was in there, and each corner of this huge, it's about the size of this room.
Our Dave?
No, different Dave.
Different Dave.
Different Dave.
Yeah, different Dave. And, so he grabbed him, and then he just kind of worked his way up, ripped his cat. He's screaming now. And moved up to his legs, was biting him. He had a bunch of puncture wounds in his thigh, and then a big tear across his chest.
Hmm.
I mean, you couldn't have a more perfect tattoo. I mean, this thing is awesome. I mean,
claw marks across the chest.
Five right across. And so then Dave wakes up, grabs his gun. I don't even think it was loaded. This is all happening. The boy's reaction were different. The one thought it was a dream and just pulled his sleep bag over his head.
Wow.
And was trying to wake up. And the other kid was, you know, whatever, was waking up and watching. Anyway, so Dave shot the bear. The bear's on top of Paul. Paul's bear hugging it, trying to push it off. Mm. So the bullet went through the bear and took his elbow out.
Dang.
So now he's dropping the F-bombs. You blew my effing elbow off. And meanwhile, this bear's going to town, right? Hits him again, and then the bear gets off Paul, goes to the corner, goes underneath the kid's cot. He's trying to get out now.
Okay.
Out of the tent.
Okay.
Goes along the backside of the wall tent, knocks the wood stove over. So now we got smoke billowing. Mm. Jumps on top of the other kid in his cot. He's under his sleeping bag. It's on top. He's trying to get out. And then he goes out the corner and then exits. Goes to the other tent where there was two guys. Walks in. Does a U-turn. Walks back out.
This bear's been shot.
Twice. I believe it's twice.
I think it was twice.
I think it was twice. And then Dave now is out in that little common area, and the bear is wheezing, and, you know, I mean, his lungs are filling. He goes back into the original tent. The 18-year-old boy had a Defender shotgun. The guy who was attacked is telling him how to load it, how to jack it in and, you know, shoot it as he's tore up.
Right.
And so, boom, he shoots the bear drops. Right next to the bear is a 5-gallon propane tank.
Hmm.
I have a picture. I'll show it to you. It's insane. And then the bear died. And then they had I mean,
this was two or three years ago?
Yeah. And that was a two-hour, hour and a half drive out of there. And, of course, they got Globalstar, which sucks compared to Iridium. So they can't get out. They can't get a signal. So Dave throws Paul in his truck, and he tells the two his two friends and then the two boys, keep calling until you get through. Tell them to meet us. Met them down kind of by those log blocks over here at the bottom of the main logging road. It's where the ambulance was. I'm in Calgary because I'm starting mule deer. I'm waiting for Lana to fly in from Arkansas. I get a call from Jared Wilkinson, good friend of mine. He's with BC Wildlife Federation. He goes, did you hear about the attack on the river? And immediately I'm just like, oh, because no one's down there. Did I just say the river? I did, didn't I? Anyway, whatever. It's a big, big area. So, yeah, so I called him, and he the phone answered, but no one said hello. I could just hear him telling the doctor, do not amputate my arm. I'd quit Copenhagen 2 years before. I drove straight to 7-Eleven, bought two cans, just sat there. Might have bought a bottle of whiskey. I don't even know. It was pretty crazy.
And it changed this guy's life. Like I said, when I used to take this for granted, you know, and I don't know more. I just want to state that you know, his whole life's been changed, right? Is he a machinist by trade, or what was he again?
He works at the lumber yard.
And, he, you know, he couldn't do his job, and he's gone through X amount of plastic surgery or reconstructive surgery and rehab and that kind of stuff, you know. And so it's not a joke. You know, with that said, I just want to state too, though, like, you know, as they give crazy stats about everything nowadays, you got a better chance of being struck by lightning than being attacked by a bear. But for whatever, you know, you still got to respect them. Like, I don't want to put the fear in people's hearts that, you know, every bear we see here is going to come after us. I've never had to pull the trigger yet on a bear, right?
Right.
So, I mean, on being charged or bluff charged or whatever. But it can happen.
Back into stalking bears, though, you're exactly right about the statistic that, you know, you'd be higher probability of being struck by lightning. But as bear hunters, we are in a whole other category. I mean, that's a statistic of all people on the planet. I mean, typically.
No,
I had a buddy tell me that, a 21-year-old kid, good friend of mine. We were talking about bear attacks or something. And I was like, I was kind of the same way. I was just like, it didn't even cross my mind. And he said, Clay, do you realize that you, of all people, probably have, you know, higher odds of being attacked by a bear just because of...
You're around it.
How many times you're hunting them off the ground was, you know... I was like, you know, you're probably right. But no, you're right, though, Gary. I mean, there's no reason to fear them, but massive reason to respect them.
Yeah, well put.
No, massive. You have to. Yeah. No, we're much higher odds than people living in downtown Vancouver.
Heck yeah.
It'll never happen there.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I mean, Lana gets mad at me. I said, that's probably how it's going to be.
That's how you're going to go?
It's probably going to be a grizzly, and it's going to be, you know, I won't be paying attention. I hope not. I'm pretty aware of what's going on.
You know, we'll see hundreds and hundreds between Jeff, I, and Ryan by the time this, you know, our 5-6 weeks is done here, you know. We'll see a lot of bears.
And you're tracking, I mean, wounded bears. And
it's just part of the game.
You know, I've said before that probably the most dangerous thing that we do as bear hunters is tracking bears. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never once had a close encounter with a wounded bear. But that's probably the most vulnerable situation because... You are a little bit out of your element. You've already killed an animal, and so you're not in sneak mode anymore. You're halfway celebrating because you feel like you've taken an animal. I mean, most of the time you're tracking an animal, you think you're going to find it, and it's going to be dead. And so, you know, you're in a different mode than before the kill. And I've thought about that more and more as I've hunted more and more. It's like if there was a place where you probably had higher odds of taking a bear charge, it could be on a wounded animal.
Well, and my whole view has changed since what happened to Paul.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, I'm not as aggressive. Like, if you had a boar and a sow and they went into the thick brush, before I would charge and woof and have my hunter right behind me, because he'll face off. You know, he'll be in there like, what's going on? I don't do that anymore because it's stupid. Basically, think about it.
And my boss just called me stupid.
Yeah, and I wasn't talking about you, Gary, necessarily, but we both do it.
Yeah,
because it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
But they're aggressive. I've had my vehicle charged by an aggressive boar black bear with a sow. And now we resort more to predator calls. Mostly later, we get a lot more brush, a lot more jungle as it grows. And you don't really, you have to pull them out. And so now we're pulling them out with
predator calls.
Little Phelps call.
Hey, this is a little bit of a segue here, but predator call. So yesterday, they're all the way across the field, Brent and Gary. And I'm stalking, and we don't have any communication other than just line of sight. And every now and then I'd throw up my binos, and we'd be trying to get some information from them about where this bear was. Mm-hmm. And I ducked into the timber, and they were seeing a bear that I wasn't seeing. And they were like, how are we going to get his attention? And Gary goes, well, I'll predator call at him. And so they're just, I guess, just wearing this predator call out over there.
Well, I just blew it a few times, yeah.
And I don't hear the predator call. And then Brent goes, well, Clay will respond to a barred owl. If I barred owl at him, he'll respond. And so Gary goes, okay, barred owl at him. So he's, ooh, ooh, ooh. And it never occurred to me. I told Brent this yesterday. I was like, man, they got barred owls in Canada. And they're over there they're just trying to flag me down. Finally, Gary walks over to me, and he's like, Clay, did you not hear us? Did you not hear us owling and predator calling?
Was he mad at you? A little bit?
A little bit.
No, a bit of an edge to him.
Yeah, he did. It was like, why didn't you hear? And then I told him I'm literally deaf in my right ear. No. Really, it was like he was getting mad at me for not being able to walk, but I was in a wheelchair. I said, Gary, in my right ear, I have lost like 60% of my hearing. I cannot hear out of my right ear, but I did hear the barred owl.
Then he felt bad. I'm so sorry. I know. I've seen it 100 times.
Yeah. He takes it serious. I like it, man. Uh-huh. You know, really, when you're with a guide, I want a guide that's got an opinion and has got wants you to do stuff. Because I've been with them that don't. You know, they're just kind of there to appease you. So,
Gary, you don't lack opinions usually.
No, I'm getting better, though.
No, I know.
I just, yeah. I've grown up a little bit. It's taken me 50-some years, but I'm growing up.
No dating opinions, though.
No.
No, I don't get paid enough to do this job.
It's got good.
No, we did. At one point yesterday, we were looking at a bear, and Gary had the binos. And at the time, I had forgot my binos. And I said, that bear's walking away from us.
Oh,
and he said, no, it's not, Clay. And I said, Gary, the bear is walking away from us. And he said, no, it's not. And I mean, I was confident. I said, that bear is walking away from us.
See, I thought
Gary.
You were messing with me. I honestly thought that Jeff told you to do something to get a reaction. I kid you not. I thought you were messing with me. That's funny.
And then he was like, look through the binos. And I was like, that bear's walking towards us. So,
Gary's usually right. Usually.
Yeah, he's usually right. I've learned that. Well, no, all this talk about like bear attacks and stuff. I think it's relevant. It's a relevant conversation with stalking bears on the ground. I mean, and it's really not something that bear hunters are really thinking about too much, but
there's certain things they do that you need to pay attention to, right? Like when we're close to them, like let's say a sow with a cub, she's making a bunch of racket, whatever. But there's different, you know, popping of the teeth, hitting their things, but ironically, the last thing they do before it's going to be a situation is yawn.
For real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yawn?
They open their mouths, and that's when they're to their breaking point. It's bizarre. Yeah. And, you know, obviously with sows and cubs, we might take some photos, but we don't mess around too much with them, even though a sow black bear isn't necessarily going to finish out an attack like a grizzly.
Yeah,
but there's things that they do that, and mostly those boars, they start popping their shoulders, walking, you know, just like they know you're there. And they're posturing, you know, like any other thing, like a grouse that you see puffing up. And so there's ways to read them to.
That's enough. We got to back out of here.
Yeah, to know that okay, this isn't good.
He's pretty serious.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mostly if he's with his girl, you know, he's.
See, I think these BC bears are probably different than, I don't know, for whatever reason, it seems like, and I think I'm going with just statistics that I've heard, it seems like there's a lot of predatory bear attacks here. I don't know, for some reason, I feel like these black bears are slightly different than black bears in other places, in some places.
I don't know
if that's true.
I've never
I've been told that actually a few times.
I mean, in Arkansas, we have, for the areas that do have bears, I mean, we've got some places that very small places that might be equivalent to the bear population here. Let's just say, like, there's a small, really well, you know, habit areas with good habitat. And I mean, there hadn't been a bear attack in Arkansas. I mean, I think two or three summers ago, a bear drug somebody out of a tent or something. I mean, but nothing ever happened. It was almost like a curious young bear or something. But I mean, we just don't have these problems. But I don't know.
There's not a lot. I mean, really, there's
it's far and few between.
Yeah. And it's usually in places that are
populated. Yeah, like parks, provincial parks, federal parks. I mean, that's where actually more hot springs, where more of the really serious attacks ever happen than in the hunting community or what we're doing, right? Like, hands down, that's actually probably where 90% of them happen. That's how drastic it is. Where bears get used to humans and being around humans, and then just, you know, something goes, they're feeding them. And yet, you know, that's what certain people want you to believe, this whole Walt Disney thing, right? And that's where the attacks happen, when you start messing with them like that. I mean, around here, like, it's far and few between.
Yeah.
I've never, I mean, we've had a few that, you know, after they've been shot that, you know, like you were saying, you're tracking them and you're not really paying attention. All of a sudden they stand up and they're right there. You have to finish them off, but not very, only aggressive behavior we've had is in the rut.
Yeah. You know? Have you ever been, how many times have you been charged by a gris? Or have you?
I don't think you ever have that.
I don't think I have. Yeah.
Okay.
All my guides do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had some close encounters with them, but no, I haven't had to. I'm trying to think. No, I haven't had to kill any. Usually, Gary's the one who gets
Gary's
that
taking the charges.
Because he kind of likes it.
Not no more.
He gets a kick out of it.
Yeah.
No. No, I've been fortunate, but you know, my other guy, Aaron, he's had
multiple.
Yeah, on the river, you know, during grizzly hunting, you know, usually those situations happen in the fall. Mm. Cow calling for moose.
Okay.
Come in, or a dead moose, or a grizzly that gets arrowed. You know, 2 years ago, the last year that we had tags, my bow hunter hit one close, and when he was taken off, Aaron shot him, but he just winged him on the shoulder, and that thing spun and came right at him, and he had to kill him. But no, by and large, it's been, you know, lots of black bear, false charges, and aggressive, but nothing that have felt things were getting out of control.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we take a very, I mean, when a moose is down, you have one guy who is standing there.
Standing on guard.
You have to, yeah. You have to. And there's probably not going to be any situation, but you hear these stories of, you know, the bears that are coming in. Last year, they were hungry. There's very few berries, and you know, they're around. Yeah. So, yeah.
Hey, in closing, talking about the nitty-grittiest spot and stalk black bear hunting, trying to get close, archery equipment. Gary, we'll start with you. What are you going to say? What are your top tips, hot tips for stalking black bears? What would you say?
Yeah, close that distance like we spoke about earlier. Close it as fast as you can. The wind changes. There's certain areas the wind doesn't change, like on the old logging road. It's so consistent there. I mean, I love that spot, including up higher, but we didn't have snow. You get the wind in your favor. But when you start hunting these fields and the corners and the downdrafts coming in the evening, you'd figure it just keeps on coming down, get the wind in your favor and go on them, get in on them. But, man, just swirls in those back corners, right? And we've experienced that already a few times. Pay attention to them. Like, you know, make your moves when they're not looking at you, and they're like you'd stalk any animal when they're not, you know, looking at you and facing away. And, man, their hearing is a lot better than people think. I mean, remember, I'm not dealing this on a rifle hunt or even so much on compound, but when, like, with you wanting to get in within 20 yards,
you can't make any noise.
You cannot make literally a mistake, and it'll happen. I mean, I know, well, you know, I'm pretty sure you're going to get one, but, they're just smarter. They're smarter than you think. So don't just take it for granted. Oh, there's another big bear. I can just walk up to it. They get big for a reason. They're not stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, do that stalk like you would on the, you know, the most hardest hunted whitetail that you ever seen.
And I think that's the thing right there that, and again, not that I've taken anything for granted, but you got to stalk these bears like you're stalking an antelope.
Mm.
I mean, that's got to be the mentality. It's like, you can't give them anything.
That's right. You know, do your draw. We've had perfect situations where everything's worked out, and I'm talking about strictly bow hunts right here. And you know, I'm telling the hunter to draw, and he goes, "Well, I can only hold for 30 seconds. So what? Let down if that's all you can hold. I mean, it's better." And yet he draws on the, you know, when they look at you. Well, no, they're gone. They're done. Even that's 40 yards away. They're looking at you come to draw. I mean, they're not going to notice that movement, right? So yeah, just don't take it for granted. Especially if you know, you really want to go after a bigger bear. Bigger they are, the smarter they are, and do it like you're hunting an elk, like you're hunting a whitetail.
You know, and I think part of the reason too, this is a little bit confusing to people, is on a baited black bear hunt, movement and scent pretty much mean nothing in Canada.
Yeah,
but when he doesn't know that there's a human involved, it's a whole nother ballgame. And I think that's the contradiction that people have, because you know, you go to Canada on a baited black bear hunt, you could stand up and, I mean, movement, sound, and even human scent is not the limiting factor. But, buddy, when you're trying to slip up on one out in his element, this is a whole other game. Jeff, hot tip, one thing you could tell. I'm fading into the bush for the last time before you see me on the stalk, and you say, "Clay, X, do this." What do you say?
Two things. I would take your first opportunity. Like if you're in your comfortable range, shoot. If you got the shot, shoot.
Don't wait for him to get closer.
Second of all, if he does bolt, move up, because big boars often will go into the bush and turn around and see what's going on.
Okay, so move in on him.
They're cocky.
And would you say, like, don't? I mean, just like run up there.
I wouldn't run up there, but he's not necessarily going to just bail into the next county. If he doesn't smell, he doesn't really know what you are. But he's cocky and arrogant enough that he'll usually come and see what's going on. And often you can move in closer and
maybe get a second opportunity.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. That happens lots to you, yeah, where the bear comes back out 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour later in the same spot, right?
Yeah.
So especially if it's a big bear and it's the bear you want, right, and you're excited about, go set back up, keep the wind in your face, and there's a good chance he might come back out.
Yeah.
Yeah, their cockiness gets them killed.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
Well, hey, that's some awesome information. And we're gonna do a couple more podcasts while we're here in British Columbia. This is the fourth day, so we got a couple days left to hunt. But thank you guys a ton.
Yeah, thank you. Good having you
on. Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, keep the wild places wild, because that's where the bears live.
Yeah.